All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. May 22nd, 2025. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Gray, overcast, cool, spitting rain. It's beautiful. It's been this way for a few days. We got just a couple more days, and then we have Memorial Day weekend. I don't know what it's like where you live, but here it goes ballistic. The people flow in. It's going to be awesome. Kicking off the summer, 2025. It's going to be a great summer. One, the weather's nice, and two, because hopefully we're all sober. And, you know, some of my worst behavior took place in the summer, and I'm grateful that I do not have to worry about that anymore, at least for today, right? It is a breath of fresh air knowing that, you know, and it's been, I've been breathing this fresh air for quite a while, but I, you know, I never get the fact that, you know, I'm not drinking and hopefully, you know, sticking with that, I won't deal with the shit that I used to deal with is a breath of fresh air for me. And I wake up every day just super grateful that I am sober and, you know, we don't have to go through that madness. And believe me, I know there's some madness that is going to be taking place down here this weekend. But luckily, we got our little compound here. Pool opens up this weekend. I know that I'm excited. I know the kids are excited. I just hope it's nice. It should be. Oldest son coming back down this weekend. Yeah, just really. I was talking to my brother this morning, and he's like, you know, because we're trying to. I'm actually putting in some new landscape lighting at my dad's house. I went by his house the other night, and it was so dark. I'm like, I got to put some lights. So I talked to him about it. He's like, yeah, get some lights. So I bought some lights. They came in. I'm going to put them up on Saturday. And my brother's like, I could come back down on Monday and help you. And I go, do you really want to drive down here on Monday of Memorial Day? He's like, hell no. The sky, social distortion. Yeah, man. He doesn't want to come down here this weekend. We're gonna hook up on Saturday. He's gonna be down for, you know, he does some stuff, and we'll take care of some stuff on Saturday. But we're not messing around Monday. It is a transformation that takes place here at the beach that is unrecognizable. It is the amount of people that will be here will be crazy, and we want to avoid that at all costs. So we hide in our houses and let the folks have their way, but it'll be awesome. So yeah, I just thought I would, you know, it's been an interesting week, couple weeks. I listened to that podcast I did yesterday. Yeah, it was, it's been crazy. I went to the meeting last night, saw my buddy Jim last night. He came up to me, shook my hand. I said, "What's up, Jimmy?" Shook his hand afterwards. I said, "I apologize one more time." He said, "Don't worry about it. I know." But I go, "Bro, it ate me up. It was really a turning point." I guess. I don't know if it's a turning point. I mean, you know, this isn't anything I already didn't know. But sometimes you just get caught up in stuff, and it just goes, and you're like, shit. And then you're like, whoa, whoa. And the difference is today it doesn't have to go as long as it used to. I was definitely one of those guys that would dig in my heels and be like, I don't know, never heard of it, never saw it, wasn't there, yada, yada. Until I was finally pressed into a corner with the lights all shining in my face, I'd be like, yes, finally, yes, I did it. And it doesn't have to go that far today. So super grateful for him for accepting my apologies. You know, but you know what I've been thinking about since this all sort of happened, and this is not, you know, this is something that's been on my mind for a long time. You know, I've been married a couple times. The first time I got married, my wife left me because I started drinking. And, of course, I've always applauded that. I think she should have. I was complete, you know, son of a bitch. And she got the fuck out of there. And, you know, think she did. Her doing that probably saved us all. Saved her a lot of pain and suffering, saved me from a lot of drinking, and saved our son from dealing with all that shit that would have come from it. Because had she stayed, you know, I don't know if I could have really dug in, right? That act, what is it, the, what's the term? Whatever, the final moment where all hell breaks loose is usually the one that helps us get into this program, help me at least get into the program, had I not, because we had been married for a while, and this sort of behavior had been sort of carrying on for a while, me sneaking and drinking and lying and slightly getting caught and yada yada and all this stuff. And, you know, our final solution was to move back to the beach and start all over and get a fresh start. And really, my start did not really get a fresh start. I continued to drink and finally getting caught. And, you know, how the story goes, she left. Getting sober and then, you know, meeting my second wife, who I just, you know, adored. I adored her. And we had a great marriage. We had a great family. We have a great son. But the problem, man, is me. And I think that it is hard. I guess I can only speak for myself. It's been tough for me through this journey in recovery is that, you know, I've lost a lot of my, you know, not only have I lost the guy that drank and, you know, was full of shit and was all that, but, you know, there's been times in my life in recovery where, you know, I feel like I've lost my ability to laugh, right? I've lost the ability to either have joy or fake it. And I've become very hyper aware of everything like that. You know, when people will say something, I'll be sitting there and they'll say something and I'll see somebody laugh and I go, I know they're not laughing. I know that's fake laughing because it isn't that funny. Right. But I have done that, you know, laugh. That's funny. You know, trying to go along with it. Lie. Right. I mean, if we boiled it right down, the condensed version would be lying. But, you know, we don't want to think of it like that. No one wants to be a liar. But, you know, when you laugh at somebody's stuff and it isn't even funny, but you're just, you know, getting along, right? Moving through life, you know. But me, as a person that's in recovery and going through all this stuff, I just seems like I see all of it. And it doesn't seem that funny. And I don't seem to be that entertained by it. And, you know, I'll look at Instagram and I will see, you know, every once in a while I'll see something that's funny and I will laugh, but, you know, other people are like laughing and, you know, busted, falling over. And I'm like, it ain't that funny. And so I think that that's part of being in recovery, unfortunately, for me, is that I feel like I've pulled the curtain back and I've become very dull. And, I think that was the problem with my second marriage. You know, you know, it's easy in a marriage to just kind of slide into your little corners and your grooves and your routines. And, you know, as long as it's working until it ain't working. And, you know, one of the things with my second wife and I got divorced, she met a new guy who I think is great. But, you know, he was part owner of a bar. You know, they did trivia night and they did all these cool things down at the bar. And they had, you know, of course, when they got together, my ex-wife joined with him to, you know, do different things at the bar. And they're not big drinkers. I mean, I really don't know what they are, to be honest, but I don't think they are. I'm sure they have a few. I'm sure they have a couple rocky mornings every once in a while, but they didn't drink like I did. But they have fun, right? I wasn't having any fun. I'm not very fun. I'm a little too serious. You know, what is perfect recovery? You know, one of the wolves, one of the voices that came creeping into my mind when I went through that incident was, you know, fuck it. Who cares about him? Why do we even care? We said what we felt or what we thought. And, you know, instead of making an amends or admitting we made a mistake, why don't we just dig our heels in and just scratch him off and lose that guy as a friend? And because that's what I would have done in my past life. I'm not admitting I made a mistake. I'm just going to go with it and we're just not going to be friends anymore. And, you know, I can't do that today. But what does perfect recovery look like? You know, is it all 100% honesty? I mean, yes, right? I mean, obviously, if it's going to be something that's going to lead us to back to a drink, of course. You know, that situation, I had to be 100% honest. This time, this is my fault. I got to clean it up and fix it. And but that's how it is today. But, you know, it's not funny. Right, if I was talking to a friend and said, and I told him about the situation, I said, I ain't shaking that motherfucker's hand. And he'd be, oh, my God. And maybe we would have laughed it off and it could have been funny, but it ain't funny. It's not funny and it's sad. It felt terrible. But it's just, it's like, what is perfect, you know, not perfection, right? We're not trying to be perfect. We're just trying to make sure we keep trying. And, but what would perfect recovery look like? And is it fun? And can other people bear us, bear to stand, be around us? You know, when I started to have this, these understanding, or what I feel like is a better understanding of a relationship with God and what God is and how much fear plays. I mean, when I learned how much fear played in my life, I was like blown away. You know, and then I started to think how many times we say I love you and the words I love you and why we say them and when we say them and what's behind them and how many times I would say I love you out of fear. I love you. I'm sorry, I love you. It's like, what? Is that love? You know, and then starting to figure out, excuse me, I just went running. I'm all phlegmed up, man. Sorry. But then, you know, I start looking at what is love, what is God, at least for me, God, love, peace, free of fear. How much fear has been in my life? Oh, my God, I can't believe it. This is all started by fear. What? That's not true. Looking back, it is true. How much fear is in my life today? How many things do I do today are based in fear and worry and not fitting in and wanting to be part of and not losing a client or a friend or a wife, right? It is, it's tough, man. It's tough. You know, I want to be, you know, back in the day when I was partying and doing my drinking and all that shit, I was the freaking life of the show, life of the party. People used to tell me, you're so funny. You're funny. You should be a comedian. I was like, I am. I was afraid. You know, all that's, you know, sarcasm, being a prankster, being a jokester, being the, you know, the life of the party, the funny guy, right? The one doing all the stupid shit, always flirting with the how far we can take it. That was me. And that's all was based in fear. You know, at some point in my life, I said something that somebody reacted to in a positive way that I, in turn, felt like, oh, look at me, I'm part of this. I don't know why, but all my life I've always felt like I wasn't part of. Never good enough. You know, that's, I'm doing the exercise and I'm like, what's good enough? You know, I have a friend I have a friend. And I saw her yesterday, and she had her lips injected. And I was like, did you get your lips injected? And she laughed. And I go, why? Beautiful girl. I mean, absolutely gorgeous. I mean, 9 out of 10 women would fucking love to be in this freaking girl's shoes. Gorgeous. Fake tits, blonde hair, skinny. Beautiful girl, right? And she got her lips injected. And I said, when are you going to fucking be happy? I mean, look at you. You are gorgeous. When do you find happiness? When do I find happiness? And how, you know, what is it that I'm trying to do to find it that is, you know, hopefully not going to be eventually a problem in my recovery. I don't know. But, man, perfect recovery, you know, I always think the idea of what recovery, when I came into a program or even started to think about it or even, you know, started to, you know, maybe think of a AA or something like that as something as a solution. You know, all I pictured was just not drinking, right, and, you know, going to talk about it. That was it. But as I've gotten into the steps and farther into the program and learning more and more about myself, and then when I learn more about myself, I end up learning more about myself. It's like every turn opens up a new door. I'm free to go in and take a look. I'm free to do the work in there if I want. I don't have to. I don't have to do any of this. But it's like, you know, how freaking good do I want to get? You know, when I came in, it was just, you know, don't drink, chat about it. And then I start learning about, you know, making better choices. And if you make better choices, it makes your life better. And I'm like, well, that's fucking dark. And I mean, that's deep. That's, wow, that makes sense, right? How come I couldn't figure that out? You know, my buddy, number one, my Bonsi, we went to a meeting on Monday at lunch, and it was on, you know, it was kind of on the fifth step, and no, it was Monday, we were on the 11th step, and he said, you know, I'm not on the 11th step yet, but I can take it back to the third step, where I start, you know, seeing, making better choices starts reflecting in my life, and I thought that was just, you know, great. It is that, right? That is the hub for me. You know, if I decide that I'm doing well, but I decide I want to start doing better, that's really starts in the third step again. Making better choices that reflect better in my life. But then when I start doing that, then I start understanding when I do make these better choices, all of a sudden this peacefulness, unlike making bad choices, you know, like when I made the bad choice to call my buddy Jim a motherfucker, there was no peace. It was the opposite of peace. I made a bad choice. You know, I had the choice to not or to say that or to not say it, and then I chose to say it, and peace went away. It's a great example of how the third step works. I could have said, don't say that. I don't even know if I had that option. It came out of my mouth so quick, but I tell you what, I definitely had the option to make an amends, and I could have chosen not to. like old school, and it would have reflected in my life, and it would have reflected in the level of peace that's in my life. Or I can make the choice, right, to do better and choose to make an amends, and the peace immediately came back, and it improved my life, you know? But then we start learning about that, and then we start learning, you know, what is peace and what is unrest in my life, and it's all fear. But when I started to find my world without fear, then I started to find this relationship with a higher power. And goddamn, now we're way into the freaking building. I'm deep in the hallways. And then we start, you know, lights. Every turn I take, a light comes on. And then I can start to see the whole picture. And then I'm like, is that guy really laughing because it's funny? Or because he just is in fear, you know, that the person needs to hear him laugh? I don't, you know, I start to overanalyze, and then it becomes a fucking sickness. It eats myself. It's crazy. So how do I stay sober and serene, right, and still have happiness and still be able to have a relationship with people, right? You know, my wife, she finds, like, reels and stuff very entertaining. She'll sit out on the porch and look at her phone for a fucking hour, just laughing and having fun. And I look at reels and I go, well, that's stupid. Well, that's fake, right? I'm just a know-it-all now. I figured it all out. And, you know, that's not fun. Is that weird, right? I don't know. It is what it is. It is part of the, I guess, part of the burden, right? It is, if you're going to, because I don't think, like the book says, half measures avail us nothing. You really, unfortunately, I really can't do just half of this. I can't just, you know, I can't do, you got to do it all. You got to do it all, and you got to recognize it all. Because unfortunately, what we don't recognize, the parts we don't do are the parts that come back, and next thing you know, You know, sometimes can't be good. I think back when I did drink, because I would love to have this moment where I said, oh, there it is. I see it right there. That moment is why I drank again. And it was really, you know, not that moment. It was really all of it, the whole thing. Right. The way I came in, you know, not understanding that this is a self-centered program. This is a disease of self. This is a choice-making problem. You know, I just, you know, didn't realize I got caught too much. I mean, there were so many things that have been revealed through the years of working this program and these steps that, you know, when I look back at it, I missed a lot of it in the beginning. It was really pretty easy to unwind. There's a woman who was supposed to be running this meeting I go to, my home group meeting, she had the commitment for the month and she hasn't shown up. And she had talked at a different meeting about, you know, she's starting to not like coming to meetings. And I was like, here come the fucking wolves, man. And they start trying to separate you. And then she didn't show up for her first commitment. And it was a whole thing. You know, when you're in a home group, right? You know, where's so-and-so? What's so-and-so? Do we have something? You know, it's a whole thing. And she hasn't been there. And then I saw her the following week at a meeting, at the meeting I go to on Monday. I'm like, you missed your commitment. She goes, I know, I forgot. I'll be there this week, I promise. I go, that sounds good. Didn't show. I haven't seen her since. And last night I went, and she wasn't there. Someone had to fill in for her. You know, 7 years. She's got 7 years, and that's when it starts, man. Those freaking devils and demons and wolves all start showing up. And I don't know her situation. She could just really have a legitimate reason. But as a person that's not only, you know, I'll have 18 years. Yeah, I have 18. I'll have, 17 and a half years, whatever it is I have. And all that time, and that's not even, you know, and I've actually been doing this since 97, so 28 years. I don't have continuous sobriety for 28 years, but I've been freaking coming to meetings for 28 years. And I've seen people come and go, including myself, right? When I moved to Easton, I really struggled. But when I came back to Rehoboth, I've been in it ever since. You know, I remember that night I had my last drink. I was so fucking full of shame and guilt, man. And I was tortured. And I went to that meeting. I had not been going to meetings and went out that night and got drunk. And that's when I called Marvin L. And he came through four hours from York, PA to come get me. But I went to a meeting that morning. And I remember just sweating and just tore up. And but since that day, I've been going to meetings. And I've seen the people come and go. And right on schedule. And it's shame. And, I don't know if that's... I know when it happened to me, I wasn't prepared for that. So, I don't know. I guess what I'm... the whole point is really, it's like, I'm trying to figure out how to balance between, great recovery, working a good program, being honest, spiritually, honest, and at the same time, not being a complete fucking dull. And that's what some days I feel like. Plus, I'm getting older. I think that might be part of the problem as well. Let me see. Let me read the daily reflections, and then I've got some stuff I'm going to go do. I'm going to work. All right, here we go. May 22nd, step one. The first word of the first step. 12 steps, 12 traditions, page 21. When I was drinking, all I could ever think about was I, or me. Such painful obsessions of self, such soul sickness, such spiritual selfishness bound me to the bottle for more than half my life. The journey to find God and to do His will one day at a time began with the first word of the first step, we. There was power in numbers. There was strength in numbers. There was safety in numbers. And for an alcoholic like me, there was life in numbers. If I had tried to recover alone, I probably would have died. With God and another alcoholic, I have a divine purpose in my life. I have become a channel for God's healing. Yeah. Takes a group admitted. We have to surrender. I give up. You caught me. I admit it. That we are powerless over alcohol. First and foremost. And that our lives have become unmanageable. I came in because of the unmanageability, not because the powerlessness. Didn't really understand that at the time. But I do now. Today, it is the number one thing. I cannot drink because if I do, I am powerless over alcohol. And that don't work for me. Hey, I hope this made any sense. I appreciate it. I hope everyone has a great day. If I don't do a podcast before, happy Memorial Day weekend. All right, later. Take this moment. Try if you can to make it last. Don't think about no future.